You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Three days are in the books for Razorback football practice this preseason. Today we're going to talk about what we learned from the first weekend with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Guys, as you think about these first few days of practice, what have stood out to you?
I've stayed on the offensive end most, and so I haven't seen a lot of the O-line, D-line play. And when they don't have their full pads on, I mean, they're going through plays, and there's a little bit of contact. And with the shoulder pads yesterday, there was a little bit more contact. But I think that really starts to be more meaningful starting Thursday with full pads. So what we've watched is a lot of one-on-one receivers versus DBs with the quarterbacks throwing every kind of route, out routes, in cuts, flags, corners, go routes, everything. And there's been a few receivers. I just think that they're going to be in a real – they're in a good position because there's so many guys, but – for their travel roster, there's going to be some guys that don't make it who feel like they might have earned a spot. I think last year they talked about having seven guys or eight guys on the roster, receivers, game to game. And Sam mentioned the other day, maybe nine this year, because I think they can go that deep. But guys like Kendall Catalan, I mean, to me, he's making a place on the roster. Bryce Stevens has shown his speed. He's making a place on the roster. On top of the ones we know, Burks, Knox, Devion Warren, and Tyson Morris, and so on. John David White, I would say, is earning a place on the roster. So, in my view, the receivers look like they won two of the days, and the DBs look like they won one of the days. But Monteric Brown has been on point at cornerback. Scotty?
Yeah, for sure. I think he's their unquestioned top corner right now. And Sam Carter said as much on Sunday when we talked to him. I think Tom's kind of spot on. I think they're in a pretty good position at receiver, which I think that was maybe a little bit of a question mark. You know, after Mike Woods left, you're like, who's going to be the number two guy? But I think there's still some valid questions there. You know, can Devion Warren come back? Like, you know, they've been kind of limiting his rep count, and he hasn't gone through, from what I've seen, I don't believe he's gone through any of the one-on-one stuff with, you know, against the DBs. So kind of curious when to see maybe he'll get back into the swing of things there. Another guy, I mean, you mentioned John David White. I like him. Teammates call him Diesel. He's gassed up all the time, ton of energy. He's got really sure hands. He's quick, kind of a jitterbug guy that make you miss in space. Got some real wiggle to him, I think. Another guy that I've liked is Warren Thompson. And Sam Pittman mentioned him on media day. He said he's a really good-looking kid. He's like 6'3 or 6'4". He's really fluid, and I think the first day, what jumped out to me, I think he beat Ladarius Bishop, you know, kind of on a little slant, you know, over the middle, looked really fluid, and then Sam Pittman said after practice he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring, and I didn't even pick up on that, but he a guy that I really like a lot. And just looking at the defensive line, I think they've got more guys that can contribute, like Cam Ball. I mean, I know that it can be a little bit, I know people probably get annoyed. We're like looking at guys and their arms look good. Like they just look the part. Cam Ball looks like he's gone through a couple off seasons with this training staff already. And he's just a freshman. I just think they've got more guys, more depth up front on the D-line. That's going to be pretty big.
Scotty and Tom both mentioned wide receivers. We're going to double back to wide receivers here in a little bit, go a little bit more in depth on what that position looks like this preseason. Guys, let's go back to something else that people were talking about from the first practice, and that's KJ Jefferson reporting at 247 pounds. He mentioned that he wants to play at 235 pounds, and so, you know, there's this immediate thought that, oh, he showed up out of shape, overweight. But then you go back a day earlier, and Sam Pittman mentioned that players showed up within, you know, what, about a 5-pound range of where the coaching staff is wanting them to play. Tom, do you feel like this is maybe a little bit of a difference of opinion in where coaches would like KJ Jefferson to be and maybe where you think he feels the most comfortable?
I don't know. I think Sam said there was 90% of the players that were within that 5-pound range.
Okay.
So we know that KJ was one of who wasn't. And then I think Devin Manuel, the big old lineman, is another guy who wasn't. And there's a few more, obviously. One thing I do worry about is some guys that they want to put weight on, maybe getting too much weight on. And like I saw Isaiah Nichols, he's running at the front of the line and he's bigger. I mean, you can just see he's bigger. Can he handle that weight? Can he play it that way? And I think Myron Cunningham last year might've run into a little bit of an issue. He got bigger and he had to kind of learn to play it that way. So it's always a balance. When you get turned into a meme, if you're KJ Jefferson, I think that's it's an eye opener, and he probably will play a lot more nimble at 235. Can he lose 10 pounds during camp? Obviously he can. Nutritionists and dietitians get with them and look for their maximum weight. But to me, he's got to be big enough to be sturdy to take the hits, but also light on his feet enough to be able to outrun some linebackers who might get angles on him when he does run. So if you're going to optimize the reason you have a dual threat quarterback, which Felipe Franks was not, if you want to optimize that in the RPO game, then KJ has got to have the right balance on his speed and agility and also his durability. So I think he understands what weight he needs to be at. And I also don't think he's going to be in there in a tank top anymore. It looks like they're putting him in the Razorback shirts these days.
And, you know, we, to this point in practice, we just haven't really had a chance to see what he looks like in a you know, normal football setting. Everything so far, Scotty, has been, you know, basically first couple of days in their shirts and short shorts, and, you know, we're not to full pads even yet.
No, we really just haven't seen just a ton of KJ either. I remember on Sunday when we were, but like the one-on-ones with the receivers and the DBs, that's a highlight of practice for us, because that's like you're finally seeing some action. You know, the DBs, I feel like, are put at a little bit of a disadvantage because they're literally just out there by themselves and kind of put on an island with those receivers. But KJ, I think, had the first two reps, and then I think he was done, if I'm not mistaken, Tom. So we really haven't seen KJ just throw a whole lot. But I remember the first day that he was the guy that threw the pass to Warren Thompson. And, you know, Warren Thompson, guy from Florida State, I think KJ likes him, and KJ's showing a little bit of leadership, trying to, you know, get some guys to really fully buy in. You know, he as soon as Warren came back to the line, KJ was over, you know, high-fiving him, showing a little bit of leadership there. I'll keep an eye on KJ. I'm not really concerned too much, you know, him saying he was 247 pounds. Like, I mean, it's hot out, man. He's going to drop some pounds. Like, I think he's going to be able to, I think he'll be able to get to his goal weight. I don't know necessarily. I think he mentioned maybe 230, 235. I think 235 is probably more realistic, you know, losing 17 pounds in a month. I don't know that would be necessarily great for him, but I think he can get to that goal weight at 235 and be nimble and agile, like Tom mentioned.
In the spring, Jefferson told me that he felt like he needed to put on some weight to be able to withstand those hits that he's going to take this year, knowing that he's going to be their starting quarterback. One other thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because you guys have been out at the practice field watching this the last few days, and Scotty, you and I and Clay talked about this on Friday, which is that with the way practices are set up for media to go out and view this year, you're able to roam around the field a little bit more, see more than you were able to during this last spring or last preseason when they had you just in a confined space. I was curious to see what you guys thought about as you've watched the five new assistant coaches over the last few days: Jermile Ashley, defensive line; Kenny Guyton, receivers; Cody Kennedy, offensive line; Dow Loggins, tight end; Michael Scherer, the new linebackers coach. Tom, what have been your opinions as you've watched them?
Well, when we enter the field, we go right by the O-line group. And so Cody Kennedy's voice is one of the loudest on the field. And really, that's Brad Davis was last year. So the O-line voice, you know, kind of the Sam Pittman position, those guys are very authoritative. And to hear them talk, they really like Cody Kennedy's leadership as a assistant coach there. And like Jermyle Ashley, their group was in front of us a lot during spring. And he is, Scotty will confirm this, he is a straightforward, no-nonsense work guy. And he now has a assistant position coach guy there helping him who is high energy. And I thought it was funny. He made Eric Gregory take another rep, but the way he phrased it was, I'm not going to cheat you on the work, meaning don't cheat yourself. And so Eric Gregory went back to the line and did a rep. Just high energy guys. Shearer and the linebackers are way down the field. So I really haven't heard a lot out of him yet. Dowell Loggins is more on an interior spot with the tight ends. We know he's an engaging, energetic guy, a friendly guy, and I think he's going to fit in. A guy who's called plays in the NFL. So he's going to have his thing going with the tight ends. And who else is the other new?
Oh, Kenny Guyton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guyton. What a friendly guy. I mean, he was so funny with us the other day. And I hope Sam Pittman comes to realize his time with us in his first gig here, 13 through 15, we all got to know him and enjoyed Sam Pittman's company. And I think it helped him build toward becoming a head coach. And I think the more his assistant coaches are in front of us, the better it is for them. Now, I understand midseason, you know, they're really, really busy. But from time to time, having them talk to the media is a good thing. They get to know us. I think Guyton got up from the table and said, man, you guys are good, or you guys are fun, or something like that. Easy. You know, we ask good questions. So I just think that they reflect the qualities that Sam Pittman wants in an assistant coach, positive reinforcement, and the loudest things they hear out of your mouth are uplifting and confirming and positive things. And then if you really need to get on them, you bring them over to the side and say, what did you see on this plate? No, that's not what you needed to do. You needed to do this. And I just think it's a positive way to build your roster.
Just so people understand what Tom is saying is that Sam Pittman really hasn't allowed a whole lot of access to his assistant coaches since he's become a head coach. I think you get to know the team better too. It's not just getting to know the coaches better. It's getting to know the team better when you're able to speak with those assistant coaches, the coordinators, and so on. Sam Pittman obviously has been influenced by what he saw when he was at the University of Georgia with Kirby Smart, where Kirby Smart, and I think this is probably a little bit of, Tom, you covered Nick Saban for a short time. I know this is probably a reflection of what he got from Nick Saban in Alabama, and that is the head coach is basically the only voice you're going to hear from the football program. All right, let's pivot back to wide receivers here for just a minute. First, I want to play a couple of sound bites from opening weekend, and first from Kenny Guyton.
Traylon, I mean, he's obviously getting all these accolades. He's coming off a great year. What have you seen from working with him in the spring and, you know, a little bit here so far, and where can he get better? I mean, as good as he is, where does he need to improve and what does he need to do to get there?
Oh man, Traylon's an awesome guy, you know? And so it's easy to kind of talk to him about the things that he needs to improve on. You know, he already knows what type of player he is and he's an awesome guy. So him being a bigger guy, you know, bigger guys aren't at times the same route runners as those smaller wide receivers. So I told him I'm here to help you with that, man. You know, help you and make sure that we can take your route running to another level. Not like it's not already great. I mean, you're top three in the country. So you're obviously doing something right. But I just want to help you take it up another notch. And also the knowledge of the game, you know, the knowledge of knowing how to read defenses, why we're calling certain things, where we're trying to get you on certain plays. And so those are the two areas I'd say that I've been here to try to take his game to another level, and he's taking ownership of it. He's working his butt off, and I think he is actually reaping the benefits of seeing it himself getting better at it now.
And then kind of an interesting soundbite too is what you'll hear second, and that's from Sam Carter, the cornerback's coach, talking about the competition between the receivers and the cornerbacks on the first 2 days of practice.
Right now, those guys are giving us everything that we can handle. You can't just focus on Burks. Everybody out there is making plays. So they have a lot of young guys that's making plays, but the older guys, Timo, Knox, Warren has been in and out. But those guys, man, those guys are a really good group.
Sam Carter mentioning that the Razorbacks receivers and cornerbacks have had good competition over the first a couple of days. Mentioned, I think specifically Monteric Brown and Treylon Burks going back and forth at one another. Tom, something you mentioned, and it stuck out to me last week whenever Sam Pittman said this, is that they want to have nine receivers who are, you know, able to play. He said that's what he thinks you need in the SEC, is to have nine receivers. And if you look at their roster, there's 14 receivers on the roster, and it becomes evident really quickly that in order for them to have that nine receiver, you know, threshold, if they're going to meet it, they're going to have a lot of freshmen step up this year and play at that position.
Very well could be the case. I just think we mentioned the returning guys. So if you start with Burks, Knox, and Warren, and Morris as guys who are kind of in the rotation, that's four. And then you start adding guys that Scotty and I both mentioned, you get up to eight and nine pretty quick. And then there's still some names left over that you think are good enough to travel. So I feel like maybe they want to add a receiver who's like on a lot of the special teams. Maybe it replaces a linebacker or something like that. But they're going to have some really tough decisions. They've got to have a good mix between the speed guys. And we didn't mention Jaquelin Crawford earlier. And I think he's made really good strides since the spring. He's a guy who can get past you. And so I think it's incumbent that maybe a Bryce Stevens and maybe a Jaquelin Crawford make the travel roster to give you get over the top speed. And so there's going to be pressure on the younger guys. I mean, Keetron Jackson comes in highly regarded. Jaden Wilson had a good start to camp, both of the freshmen. So there's just going to be some really tough choices. And I think Crawford, from what I've seen so far, could be a good value. I mean, he's run some out routes and gotten separation, made catches, and he's gotten deep on people. If you're Darren Turner, you got to start showing some things. If there's a few other guys that have really got to start showing up if they want to make the travel roster, Scotty.
And I think Bryce Stevens is going to start putting pressure on guys sooner rather than later. Because I remember we talked to Kenny Guyton, he was asked about, you know, even going back to when Sam Pittman was asked, you know, what about your special teams? Who are you looking at as some of the return guys? And Bryce Stevens is a guy that did that in high school and had pretty good success with it. And Kenny Guyton and Trey Knox and who was it? Devion Warren we talked to, they kind of raved about Bryce Stevens' speed. Like, he's a guy stretch the field vertically. And then, like I mentioned, I think there's a story on the front page of Whole Hog Sports today, just about, I think Bryce Stevens. He went to a prep school that was run a lot like a college program. So maybe he might be a step ahead. Even though he didn't go through spring, I think that's pretty important. But a guy like that, I think he's going to start applying some pressure on maybe like a Darren Turner, to maybe kind of raise his game. I think they're going to like, if they're working with Bryce, it may be a punt return, maybe kickoff return. I think he's going to have a spot maybe on that travel roster. Keetron Jackson's another guy. He's such a good looking kid, and he's finally got that knee brace off, moving a little bit more fluid. So they're going to have some options. There's going to be a good receiver or two that are staying at home when they travel. And I don't know that I necessarily expected that maybe in the spring after Mike Woods left. I kind of thought that they might be in trouble because Mike was a terrific deep ball threat. Like, he had great footwork. His speed helped him separate. His footwork was phenomenal. So they're trying to replace that. And maybe Bryce Stevens maybe won't take all of that Mike Woods gave, but he's going to help, you know, fill that hole that Mike left.
Yeah. And when you think about the walk-ons, you know, they lost to Karch Gardner, who was always scrappy and making plays. Well, Harper Cole and Chris Harris both made really good catches yesterday. Harper Cole just fights to get open and wins 50-50 balls. And he's not a super big guy or anything. He just gets open. And so they're making it very, very tough on Kenny Guyton and Kendall Briles and Sam Pittman to decide the nine, or maybe they get 10 on the travel roster.
Talking about scrappy, I've mentioned this a number of times. John David White reminds me of Drew Morgan. Drew Morgan was the type that always made plays in practice, and for some reason it didn't translate into games for a little while. You know, we've seen John David White for two or three years now, you know, be a really good practice performer for him. And you have to understand, you know, I mean, a lot of times he's running, say, with like the second team offense, and so he's not going against starting defensive backs or defenders all the time, but he is sometimes. And it seems to me, Scotty, you wrote about him this weekend, that he's going to be one that is going to get playing time this year and a chance to really produce.
Yeah, I think his energy level just lends to that. Like he's blue collar, like comes from a really good high school program. And I think it's just the way he was raised. Like he's not going to let anybody outwork him. And he knows, like, you know, probably athletically, like he doesn't look like a Trey Knox or a Traylon Burks or you know, any of the heralded freshmen. So he's got to work harder. And I don't think that's a problem for him. And you mentioned, you know, maybe when we see him kind of jump out to us, like maybe in the spring game, you know, he had a really good spring game, but he was going against, you know, twos and threes and guys that might see time on the scout team this fall. I saw him go one-on-one. He was matched up against Jalen Catalan yesterday, and Jalen Catalan had, I don't want to say he had trouble with him, but John David White came down with a catch across Jalen Catalan's face. And then John David had another catch. I forget who he beat, but on an out route, like the kid's quick. Like if he's not on the field, it's because somebody like just really, really stood out. Like he's not going to be like a top three, top four, maybe top five guy, but he's going to be a valuable, you know, maybe second tier guy that can come in and maybe spell one of the top guys. The kids call him Diesel for a reason. Like he's high energy all the time. And I think the kids really like him. I know Kenny Guyton really likes him a lot.
Came from a great high school program, Pulaski Academy, fourth generation Razorback. I mean, you're talking about, you know, guys who have produced throughout the years. You know, his grandfather was on that great 1969 Arkansas football team. His dad was an All-America golfer. I think there's something to be said for that kind of pedigree, both from a family standpoint and coming from that high school program. Tom, another guy, it's Trey Knox. This has been a receiver who he got off to a great start his freshman season, had that injury. There are big expectations for Trey Knox this season, and especially with Mike Woods out of the program, it feels like he needs to step up and be a solid number two or three receiver for them.
I think he needs to. I think he probably feels the pressure to be the guy, the second guy, and I think Tyson Morris is knocking on that door as well because he's tall. I like Trey a lot. I did his Hog Future when he first got here. And he's an engaging kid. He's very bright. He likes to throw axes. And he had the hip injury against Ole Miss very early on in his freshman year, and he still wound up with better stats than Traylon Burks did that year. Then he fell off. He didn't catch the 2-point conversion against Auburn last year, and maybe that got in his head. I think he's a very caring guy. And yesterday he got his footwork. He was doing his chopping steps and trying to do the hand fighting with Trent Gordon. And he ended up slipping on the play. And if that's third and five and that's the result, then you're punting. So I'm rooting for Trey Knox to do very well. He added a bunch of pounds. He says he's always been a string bean, and now he weighs about 225 to be more explosive and fast. And if you add that kind of weight, how do you really add that speed? I hope there's a way that all meshes, because I'd like to see him do well. And I had written down Malik Chavis, Scotty, as the guy that John David White caught the pass on yesterday.
We're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Traylon Burks today. I think everybody knows what Arkansas has in Traylon Burks, obviously a great receiver.
It's crazy. People are saying that he's better than last year. Like his route running is better. So,
yeah, I mean,
everybody better watch out.
It's a draft year for Traylon Burks. And I think, you know, a lot of times that can be a big incentive for players to go and find something within themselves that maybe they haven't, you know, shown before. Again, we know what they've got with him. There's a ton of preseason lists that are coming out, and it seems like just about every one I see that Traylon Burks is the best receiver in the SEC, one of the two or three best offensive players in the SEC. This is a guy who's got a potential to be a first round draft pick. But the key with Burks, I thought last year, guys, and we mentioned this a minute ago, was that Mike Woods gave him, you know, some protection on the other side. that he could be a solid number two receiver. We saw in games last year, I think maybe a game where Burks didn't play, Davion Warren stepped up and had a big game. And of course, Warren had the big game against Auburn last year. And I want to finish with something on Davion Warren. He's coming back from the ACL injury. And a lot of times, guys who come back from ACLs, it's become such a routine surgery that people, you know, almost feel like it's just kind of normal. It's easy for them to come back. This is still a hard surgery to come back from. And we've seen guys who've never quite made it back to the way they were before. You guys had a chance to talk to Davion the other day. You've seen him in practice. How close does Davion Warren look right now, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks before the first game, to what he did last season?
We just haven't seen enough of him. He's been on the sideline. Like Scotty said, he hasn't done the one-on-one work. So they're going to take it easy on him. They're going to watch his reps. He went pretty good on day one. On day two, we kind of saw him over there on the sideline a little. So I love the kid's attitude. He's a kid from Monroe where I once worked. So got a special place for Davion. And a guy who had so many setbacks. You know, they tried to do a wide receiver pass against Mississippi State a few years ago, and it just blew up on him. And he didn't have great success other than his kick returning. And he wanted to come back after the injury against Florida. And if he can be even 80 or 90% of what he was as the slot guy last year, then that's another way to take some pressure off Treylon Burks.
That's a quick turnaround when it comes to ACL. I mean, that was November the 14th when they played Florida. So we're not even 9 months into the recovery, or I guess 10 months into the recovery yet, Scotty.
Yeah, and I remember, I think it was when me, you, and Clay talked about this on maybe Friday. If he can get anywhere close to where he was last year, that's such a huge deal. But I don't know that he'll do that. But I think if he can maybe get, like Tom said, maybe 75 to 80% of where he was last year, that's still a really good player. Because he was running by folks. He was, making guys miss in the open field. I think early in the season, maybe it was against Georgia, or no, I think it was a Tennessee game. They ran him, kind of ran him in motion, shotgun snap. He gets a handoff, and, he's a guy that can, maybe turn the corner, pick up 15, 20 yards that way too. So there's some multiple ways that you can use Davion. Just, I hope that he builds enough trust and confidence in that knee to feel good about making those cuts that, kind of make him who he is. And, I remember I talked to Davion Warren's mom for a feature story last year, and his family's very faith-based. And so I think he's had a really, really good support system to, keep him up mentally through this. I asked him on Saturday when we got him, was like, what was the most challenging part of this recovery deal? So, I mean, I've never done anything like this before, especially, and I'm not anything like Davion, so I don't know what that's like. And he was just like, the mental grind, just doing your recovery and your rehab every day, and just, just having that goal in mind to getting back to where you want to be. And so I think he's in a good place mentally. Now I think you just got to build up confidence in that knee to, become a weapon again.
That touchdown against Auburn he had is over the shoulder. Felipe Franks dropped it right in there. I think it gave him the lead in the fourth quarter. That should have been a game-winning mm-hmm. touchdown pass. And then he would kind of have that on his legacy. And instead they had the snafu with the botched spike call, and Arkansas doesn't get a W that it deserved.
For more on receivers, by the way, go over to wholehogsports.com. Tom's got a position analysis on receivers today. Also, as Scotty mentioned, we've got that feature on Bryce Stevens, part of our Hog Futures series that looks at all of the Razorbacks' incoming freshmen. We'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. Until then, for Tom Murphy and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.